All right. Let's do a quick round of introductions. Thomas Noble, they them pronouns, government co-chair. Facility Chuck, I see you're up next for me.
Chuck Adams, co-chair of Council Affairs.
Thank you, Richard.
Hi, Richard Sullivan, Council Co-Chair, Community Engagement Co-Chair.
Zachary.
Zachary Davenport, Council Co-Chair, Membership Committee Member.
Think about that, didn't you? Bill Bloom
Phil Bloom, HIV Health Services.
and Ron Hernandez.
Hi guys, Ron Hernandez, Membership Committee Co-Chair.
Kat.
Kat Tajgir, Council Staff.
Kira.
Kira, Council Staff.
And Mr. Molnar.
Mark Bowler, Council Staff.
Great. Cool. So agenda. Bylaws review. Let's see what we got. Meeting evaluation. All right. Seeing, does anyone have any opposition to voting these in? Nope. Great. Consider them approved by consensus. Do we have notes? Sorry, I should actually let me pull those up since I'm facilitating. Great. Thank you for pulling those up. Great. Does anybody see any corrections or additions to the minutes before? Hearing none, we will approve them by consensus. What is next on our agenda? I don't have it up in front of me just yet.
Announcements.
Thank you. Any
No, thank you.
announcements? None.
I think Council staff can make an announcement about an upcoming steering committee meeting. Kat, can you give that announcement?
Yes, so the June steering committee meeting is scheduled on Juneteenth, and we will need to reschedule it. The Thursday before is membership, and then the Thursday after falls after the full council meeting. So we're looking at scheduling it Tuesday the 17th or Wednesday the 18th. And I did send out an email to everyone. So if you could just respond and let me know which day works best for you, that would be great.
Looks like
Great.
Bill has hand up.
Thank you, Mark. Bill?
I will not be at this upcoming full council meeting. I'll be at the CARE Coalition meeting. If I'm able to join remotely, I will. But John Ainsley will be there in person representing any questions that you all might have. I won't also have a monthly report, so if there's something you want me to give an update on here or have him be able to there, let me know.
Right, that should be a fascinating meeting, right, Mark or Bill?
Yes. I have the feeling I won't be seeing you guys because we'll be up late trying to figure out what talking points based on what happened during that very day. So yeah, it's moving quickly.
Excellent. Hey, Jesus, welcome. I am actually having a Outlook glitch. It is not allowing me to pull up the agenda. So, I can't, I'm not sure what's next on the agenda.
Committee
I
and
th
work groups.
Thanks, Richard. Did I miss anything else on the agenda? Any other
No,
announcements?
I have a question for you, Thomas, as a
Sure.
and HIV prevention. Any insights on the most recent announcement that the federal government is considering moving HIV prevention programs over to HRSA?
No insights whatsoever.
Okay, thanks.
So other than the fact that it's stressed out everybody, but yeah.
I got a quick question. The Form 700s, has everybody got those in, or do you need to do a reminder on Monday?
I'll go ahead and do a reminder because we do have a couple of people, some present in this meeting who have yet to do fill those out.
Better not be me. Is it me, Kier? It's not me. Okay, great. I actually have to do it twice for the city position, and then for the council. In the city position, we have to take an hour of training, which that I have not done. Bill?
First of all, it's an hour and a half for you.
Oh.
And Kira, I did do it. Do I need to do it twice?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
That's definitely.
I had that problem last year, Bill. I was like, okay, I've done it. And they're like, no, you haven't done it.
That's if I could just make a PDF of it and send it to you, right? Is that good enough?
No, unfortunately, this year, they're only allowing everyone to do it online through their own portal. They're not taking any more paper copies, unfortunately.
Dear Lord. Okay.
You got mine, thanks. Right, Kira? Kira, you got mine, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Right.
Cool. Well, we know who's left now, don't we? all right, so committee updates, right, Richard? That's what's the next item on the agenda.
Yes, and I can lead off with community engagement. Unfortunately, we didn't have a meeting on the 5th. I believe we had no quorum. We waited around for a while, and then we took an we just agreed that we weren't going to have the meeting that day. That's my community engagement report. Sorry about that, folks.
So just for the record, Richard, I logged in at 10 after and it was called. So I don't know what the protocol is with regards to how long to wait, but I tried, I think, is really what I wanted to make sure that you knew.
Yeah, I don't doubt that you signed in at 10, Thomas, 10 minutes after, but I kind of remember we hung around a while. We didn't rush it. We must have just missed you because we gave it due diligence. It didn't happen.
Yeah, I caught Kat and Kira still on, right? So you all must have just dropped off as I was trying to jump in. Okay, thanks for the update, Richard. Appreciate it. And if it continues, we'll need to work with folks around attendance. Who would like to go next?
I can do affairs. It's really quick. Mark led us through the long-acting injectables because the presenter wasn't there. And it was quite a long, a little bit longer discussion. I thought it was going to be. We had a lot of questions. He wrote them all down and gave it to him. So it should be a very good presentation. Anything else, Mark? Okay.
Andrea Gross, is that the presenter's name?
That is her name.
Yeah, so somebody told me that they are a great provider, so I'm looking forward to meeting them and hearing that presentation.
Very responsive as well to all of the committee gave a lot of feedback, and she was very responsive to that. She put literally everything that was in, turned into a mega presentation, and then she was very responsive to my suggestions to cut it back down. she so far has been just a pleasure to work with, actually, just very responsive.
Excellent. Good to know.
Be gentle with her. She hasn't done a lot of presentation, and she likes to do great jobs. So,
okay, good to know, Bill. I appreciate that context. It's always helpful sometimes. Either my humor or my familiarity can jar people a little bit. Yeah. I saw the air quotes, Mark. Cool. Who's up next? Membership?
Yeah. Thanks, Thomas. Okay, so we had a pretty brief meeting last, but we did our regular demographic update and our attendance report. What was really nice is we got to interview Anna Brunzuela, who is going to replace Matt Geltmaker to sit in for representing San Mateo. So we really liked her. We recommended her to the full council. So next week you should be meeting her, and we hope that you take up our recommendation and take her in as a recruit. Any questions?
No, thanks, Ron. And I don't know if people have noticed, but Anna has actually been coming to the last few meetings and sitting in the back. Should be an easy transition with regards to the space and understanding how we function as a body. Cool. Is that everybody? Did we get all the committees? Excellent. Are we reviewing agenda for full council meeting? Is that what's on next?
Meeting evaluation.
Yes. Evaluation.
Meeting evaluation.
And I can do that one. Just give me 1 second. Can I go ahead and share that? Okay. Can everyone see this?
Except for it says customize, we value your privacy. Do you have a box open?
There we go.
Cookie, there you go.
All right, so we had 19 council members present at last month's full council meeting, and then we did receive 14 surveys back. So I'll go ahead and get started. The information received prior to the meeting adequately prepared me for the meeting. One person did skip this, so we only had 13 people answer it, but they all agreed with that statement. The meeting was run efficiently by Richard Sullivan. Everyone agreed. There were 2 comments there. Great job. Well done, especially reining in crosstalk between council members and members of the audience. The agenda was well planned. Everyone agreed. No comments there. The eligibility criterion FPL update by Mark Molnar was informative and relevant to the HCPC. Everyone agreed. And there were 2 comments. Great job, and thank you, Mark and Bill. The End the Epidemics Prevention update by Thomas Noble was effective and engaging to the HCPC. Everyone agreed. And there were 3 comments. Well done, Thomas. Thank you. Good hair day, and then well done.
Wow, that made my day.
My needs as a council member are being met during this time. Everyone agreed with that statement. No comments there. As to what worked well for council members during the meeting or what could have been improved, the first comment is Franco's immigration discussion was a very good one for the council. The food was great. Thank you. Somebody wrote that they would like to see a wider option for the catering menu for dinner. Yeah. The flexibility within the agenda to shift presentation is needed. And everything is, I'm guessing, what worked well. If anyone has any suggestions for future presentations or training topics, we had a couple. An update on PrEP injections in San Francisco, expanded eligibility, sites, participation, as well as HIV services for justice involved. This received an overall 9.2 rating out of 10 for this month. Any questions about this?
Sorry, who facilitated? Was it Richard or yes. Zachary? Yeah, Richard. Great. Good job, Richard.
All right, I'll stop sharing.
I can't remember what the crosstalk was.
Between the public. The
immigration. And,
between the public and the council members.
Great.
There was a gentleman giving some good information, but then it became too much back and forth. So I
came in and dialogued.
Great.
Oh, that was, well maybe done, that Richard. Was ALRP giving a report out on ways to respond to immigration, ICE, and stuff.
I am remembering that. That was interesting, for sure. Cool. Good job, Richard. Those are, I find as a facilitator, one of the more challenging moments up there with regards to, you don't want to, and we also kind of set a little bit of a tone with Franco's kind of more casual dialogue. And we were kind of hoping to repeat this in the next meeting a little bit with regards to, I thought the council was very activated and it was a great, I walked away with it thinking it was a strong meeting. So, cool. Any other thoughts on that before we move on to the next item? Right. Is the next item the agenda for the next meeting?
Indeed. All right. So we have here our normal stuff. We have here under general updates a shorter amount of time because there will be no bill. And we have yet to receive a replacement for Chris Kent, who seems to have appears to have left State Office of Aid. So I just have Nikki up there. Still hoping to get a replacement, but so far they've been unresponsive. But I do have a couple people I can contact.
Sorry, Mark. Who do you contact at the state?
Well, I they have a general email, which I'm not sure that they're spending a lot of time responding to. And that's where I put my first query. I thought I'd give it a little bit of time. And so next up is I'm in contact with other EMAs. And so I'm going to contact the state office representative to LA County and ask them to introduce me to someone who might be able to provide some guidance on where we can get a new Chris Kent. Since she literally works for the State Office of AIDS and is also literally a rep for LA, I imagine that she could help. I hope.
Okay. Great. I see Bill's got a hand, so maybe there's some help there too.
Martino, Jesse Vigil, State Office of AIDS, Ryan White, Part B.
No.
Would you like me to make an intro to see if he's able to help out with that?
That would be fantastic. Thank you, Bill.
Will do.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, we have that membership update that Ron noted with Anna. And then we have a brief update from Robert, just like 10 minutes. The council approved a sort of a mega case management service category standards of care, and that has now been divided into, as it should be, into the core service medical case management and the support service non-medical case management. So we just didn't go over that division of one into two. And then we have a state public policy update. I haven't been hearing from Laura, so I'm hoping that she's still on for this. This was a very interesting and well-received presentation the last couple of years, so hopefully she'll still be on deck for that. And then we have our break featuring a delicious and very wide array of food, which people will enjoy. After that, we'll have a long-acting injectables presentation from Andrea from the Castor Mission Health Center. I gave this a lot of time. As you'll see, it's almost an hour's worth. I think that's suitable. This is a fascinating topic for many council members and certainly very apropos to the work that we do. And so it seemed important to give it a lot of time. She did think her presentation would only be a half hour. I think it might be a little bit longer. And there will probably be a lot of questions. Thomas, as you'll be facilitating, I'd like to ask you to please make sure that questions come at the end. All right.
Will do.
Any changes or updates to this full council agenda for Monday?
What quality assurances have you put into place to assure that the food is, what was the word that we wanted?
I think the critique was more options, to which I'd say, well, then give us more money.
Wait, let me turn off the camera.
I mean, we provide a wide range of options, and we regularly go over a little bit of our budget. So for people to want more than that, I think that people need to maybe adjust their expectations.
Yeah, more.
I mean, we provide vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free. We usually have two different meat proteins as well, and yeah, a salad people should eat more of. The only thing that we don't give is dessert. Sorry.
More a reflection of the wide variety and good food than my gluttony. I roll out of there every full council meeting. It's, the food is awesome and filling, and we even had cake last month.
Provide me dinner. It provides me dinner for the following two nights as well. I think this month is Burmese, so hopefully people like Burmese.
Nice. Betty's always down for that. Also, too, just with regard, I can't remember where we discussed it, which meeting, but just if there is time for dialogue at the end.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw this update from Kat. Thank you, Kat. I'll remove that from the agenda right now. Sorry, Thomas.
No, it's okay. Just if there is an opportunity to kind of dialogue, I'd really love to hear from council members around long-acting injectables and what that means to them, whether it be for PrEP or for people living with HIV with regards to viral suppression. I think it's a pretty significant advancement in our technology. It's not for everybody. It's got some, and we'll hear more about that. But I'd also really like to make sure that when it is widely available, that it's widely available to all the populations that we care about. And so I think the council needs to understand that, and talking to clients about whether or not it's an option for them, or talking to community members. So I would really encourage people to either have questions or something that they'd like to say during that time. Nothing worse than having a little bit of time set aside for dialogue and nobody talking. So I encourage folks to chime in. Sound good? Great. Thank you all for that. Anything else on the agenda? Was that the last item?
Yeah, we have our entire bylaws review to continue on with.
Oh. Yay.
Yay. This will be great. Okay, so let me share screen.
We've been waiting for you to return from the Arctic. Circle breathlessly for this month.
Oh, I know. I mean, I felt like something was missing in my life. The Arctic was just not a big enough thing to fill that hole where the bylaws were. Anyway, so I think I've finished, and please, it's been a little bit of time, January, so I don't necessarily know where I recall specifically where I left off, but I know we finished Article 3, which was the big membership stuff, and then I'm pretty sure we did officers. I think we might have stopped at meetings. Is that everyone's recollection from January?
Yeah, I don't remember us doing quorum.
Okay. Then let's just start in. So as usual, I'll just be reading these paragraphs. If there's something that occurs to me, I'll mention it. And then I'll ask after each section if there's any updates to that. If there are not, we'll just simply move on. Quorum. A quorum of the council must be present at any regular or specially scheduled meeting in order for the council to engage in formal decision-making. A quorum is defined as more than one half of the membership, excluding those members on an authorized leave of absence or excused absence. In addition, at least 25% of the membership present must be PLWH in order to constitute a quorum for all meetings. Absentee votes shall not be permitted. A quorum of council members must be present at any regular meeting of the council, the leadership committee, which is this committee, or a working group in order for voting to take place. A quorum is defined as more than one half of the current eligible voting membership of the group that is meeting. This may be different when dividing even in odd numbers. It is a policy of the council to round up to odd numbers. For example, in a working group with 13 members, 6.5 will be rounded up to 7, which means at least 7 members must be present at the working group meeting to form a quorum. For another example, assume you have 12 members in a working group. 6 will be half of the working group membership, so you would need 1 additional member present for a total of 7 members present to form a quorum. Any thoughts or updates to the quorum? Yes.
I do, Matt. Going to the at least 25% of membership present must be PLWH. I'm trying to count it in my head because I know we're fewer now. Do we even meet that?
We regularly meet that at full council meetings, yes. And actually, membership committee meetings? So, you know, this is PLWH. This isn't necessarily consumers of services. So we have a number of people who are PLWH who are not consumers of services, which helps us a lot as far as that goes. Make sense?
Yeah. I think that's still a good question. Are we sure that we have half of PAS folks on each committee to make that?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mark, I'm assuming that staff does that discreetly, right?
Yes.
Is what's going on. And I think that's why people are asking questions like, oh, I didn't realize you all were counting. So, thank you. And I just assuming that's why there's questions around it.
Yeah, I tend to do that myself since I don't know if the, I mean, these are all public positions, of course, but there's a difference between a person who is on the council as an HIV positive consumer of services and, say, a government appointee or a service provider who is also happens to be HIV positive. So I'm aware of those folks, and I don't tend to make it public knowledge, although they often make it public knowledge themselves.
So, Mark, so the POWH, the definition, did we already cover that? Or is that something that we're going to look at later on?
I don't think there's really a need to cover it. It's
you don't
it's
have self, to explain what yeah, that
it's
means.
Self, it's self-defined, person living with HIV.
Okay, because I simply thought someone who was a consumer.
Oh, no. Yes, Jesus?
Yeah, I hope I'm allowed to make this question. And I forgot if I already did. What is the percentage of a consumer of services in our console?
That's a good question for Kira.
I can look at that really quickly. Give me 1 second. It would be 26%.
Thank you.
Any more questions on quorum? All right. This is a rarely used, but has been used in the past by law, proxy designation and voting. Any PLWH member who is absent due to illness may appoint a proxy according to the bylaws. The use and designation of a proxy must be communicated to Planning Council staff prior to use, including when a council member becomes ill during a meeting and would like to designate a proxy. Designation of a proxy must be noted in writing within the council support files. A designated proxy must be a voting member of the council. A proxy may serve for 2 meetings for the purpose of maintaining representation of PLWH when a member is unable to attend due to illness. An individual council member may serve as a proxy for not more than 1 member. A standing proxy may be established by a PLWH council member by communicating the names of those designated as proxies in advance to council staff. Standing proxies must be noted as ongoing or temporary. Proxies do not affect quorum. Any thoughts on proxy designation and voting? All right, moving on. Abstentions.
Mark, just a good question on that. Do you want to clarify what proxies, the last bullet there, proxies do not impact quorum?
How would you like that clarified?
Are you saying that you, are we saying there that the one person who is serving as proxy counts as 2 people there? Or that are we saying that even though they're voting for 2 people, they don't help towards quorum?
The latter.
We count the proxy.
The latter.
Okay, so maybe that's a clarification there.
How would you want that clarified?
Proxies do not... while proxies may hold 2 votes, they do not count as 2 individuals towards meeting quorum.
Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Abstentions. An abstention is not considered a vote, and thus does not count towards the total of votes cast. Simple, straightforward. Any questions?
Sorry, Mark. I thought actually an abstention did kind of, it counted almost like indirectly as a no vote. Isn't that what you've said in the...
That's a recusal.
A recusal. Gotcha. Thanks.
Sure. No problem. Voting a majority. Every official action taken by the council shall be adopted by a majority vote, except where a two-thirds vote is required by these bylaws. If two-thirds vote is required, it shall be at least two-thirds of all votes cast, provided a quorum is present. A majority vote shall be more than half of all votes cast, provided a quorum is present. Council members who recuse themselves due to a conflict of interest will be deducted from members present and voting for determining a majority vote. An abstention is not considered a vote and thus does not count towards total of votes cast. Unanimous consent can be used for routine business, such as the approval of minutes and agendas. Written ballots can be used for elections, and roll call votes should be used for everything else. Unanimous consent permits action without a motion or a vote when there is no opposition anticipated. All votes taken by the full council will be made public in the minutes. Vote number one, voting through unanimous consent. Unanimous consent can only be used for routine business, such as the approval of minutes and agendas. Voting with ballots can only be used for elections. The result of a vote taken by ballots will be recorded in the minutes meetings. Voting by roll call, all major or fiscal actions taken by the council other than routine business or elections must be taken through roll call votes. Let's see if there's something here that we should adjust. So we have done ballot votes when there has been more than the number needed for a roll nominated. And so we'll do a ballot vote then. These are still public votes, but it is good to have the, I guess, that on record and for people to have the ability to write it down, I guess, and having to be, I guess, open, even though these are still public. So I guess that in some ways is a path sometimes taken, but rarely. We haven't done a ballot for a long period of time. Working upwards, voting through unanimous consent. You know, we have actually been using unanimous consent for several years now when it comes to approval of membership motions. Do we want to continue that, or do we want to do a roll call with everyone? So if you recall, even with last month, when we do that, they will introduce themselves. It's a motion on the floor, so it doesn't need to be moved or seconded. And then I'll ask if there are any objections. So that's a unanimous consent. Do we want to move membership votes to roll call votes, or do you want to actually add them to unanimous consent here in the bylaws? What do folks think? If there is no opinion, then maybe we can adjust. So what we've been actually been doing for multiple years. So if people, unless people are opposed to this, I don't really have a whole set, any thoughts on this. It's easy for me to get a unanimous consent. It's also easy for me to do a roll call vote. But if people don't object, this can then read, can be used, and then unanimous consent can also be used for membership votes on membership. All right. Well, if no one has any...
Because, Mark, we've been doing that, correct? With membership, you kind of just say any nays and...
Yeah, we've been doing that for multiple years now, ever since, I think, the pandemic. I think before that, we did roll call, maybe. I'm not even sure. We might have been doing it even before pandemic. It doesn't seem to have caused any issues. Of course, if someone doesn't want to vote against a candidate, it does make it less easy. They'd still be able to raise their hand if once I ask for, is there any opposed?
So other than money votes, for expedience, consensus should be able to handle it, right?
Yeah. Yep. Basically, all major or fiscal actions are going to get a roll call vote, right? And so that means, say, co-signing on a local or state initiative, we're going to get a roll call vote for that. We'll get a roll call vote, obviously, for service category prioritization, for... resource allocation, carry forward allocation, all those kinds of things we're going to get roll call votes for, and we need to. All right, moving on. Motions and decisions. Motions should be worded affirmatively, that is, to take an action, accept a report, etc. Discussions of the motion is then in order, and the motion is open for amending, as discussed below. Discussion proceeds by the presiding co-chair recognizing in order members who wish to speak to the motion or to amend it. A new motion cannot be made until the motion on the floor has been withdrawn or voted on, except by any amendments that directly affect the original motion, namely to amend the motion or to table further discussion of the motion. Well, this used to happen all the time, and to send the motion to a committee or work group. So just to explain that, a motion can be on the floor. Let's say there's a motion to accept the resource allocation scenarios as determined by steering. through our committee process, right? So that's on the floor. The discussion is then about that motion. However, someone, let's say Richard, says, you know what, though? I want to send more money to emergency financial assistance. So I'd like to amend that and actually increase emergency financial assistance by 5% and subtracting, and therefore subtracting 5% across all other service categories. And so the discussion then turns to the amendment that Richard has just proposed. That amendment has to be dealt with first. Everyone might say, you know what, Richard has a great point. We're going to vote on this now and say yes. And so then the amendment becomes a part of the original motion. The discussion then goes back to the original, now amended motion of the resource allocation scenario that has been amended by Richard. If everyone says, no, Richard, you're cray, we're not doing that, then they will vote no. And then it goes back to the discussion of the original motion. Make sense? If people feel like, well, you know what? We're doing this 2 months early for some reason. We've decided to do resource allocation in May. Richard has some good ideas, but it's kind of weird that he just brought up now here at the last minute. I'd like to send this motion to the committee to actually talk about further. My motion is to send it to Council Affairs. If that's approved, we can actually do a discussion and then a vote on that. And then if the vote is to send it back to motion, the whole thing goes back to a committee to discuss again. And we don't discuss the original motion until it has come back to us from committee. Make sense?
It does, Mark. Just in your examples, there was kind of extremes. If there's something less extreme, does it still, do you just take a...
Absolutely. So let's say during the, let's say that, well, Franco's discussion of, let's use actually the one thing that I didn't talk about, which is bullet point two to table. So let's say that Franco was discussion, someone came up with an idea of like, you know what, we need to do a statement now against the federal government. Someone might say, you know, I'd like to actually make a motion to table that for further discussion of that motion. And then people can automatically say, okay, yes, we table that one, because they don't want to get into it right now. Make sense?
It does. I think I'm just asking, so what if you have like one third, two thirds? Like, is it voted on whether it's table or not table? Or yes. Is it vote? It is. Okay. That's all I wanted clarity
on. All of these are voted on. Amendments, tabling, and sending the motion to committee.
Great. Thank you.
During discussion of a motion, it may become clear that the motion is not ready for action. The member proposing the original motion may choose to withdraw it before it is voted on. This used to happen a lot as well. Motions submitted by a committee or work group do not need to be moved or seconded, as they come from more than one individual. They're coming from that committee. We see this all the time. Motions made by individual voting members. Individual voting members may submit motions for consideration on agenda items that have been identified for, quote, vote. That means we must see it on the agenda. A member introduces the motion by being recognized by the co-chair or working group facilitator by saying, I move that an action be taken. The action is the body of the motion. Motions, again, should be worded affirmatively, i.e. to take an action, accept a report, etc. Just to explain that, so your motion is not a negative motion. It's not to say, we're not going to do this. You know, it's to say, we will be doing this. Does that make sense? You don't do a motion like not to do something. You do a motion to do something. All right. A motion submitted by an individual voting member must be seconded by another voting member calling out, I second the motion, or simply second, before discussion occurs on the motion. If there is no second, the motion dies. This also used to happen a lot in the council. It is customary to allow the mover to speak to a motion first. And if desired, again, before it is voted on. Discussion proceeds by the co-chair or working group facilitator, recognizing individuals who wish to speak in order. Further to amendments to motions. A voting member may move an amendment to the original motion. An amendment may delete, substitute, or add words that modify the original motion on the floor, but it must not negate or change the original intent of the motion. In order for the motion to amend to be accepted, it must be seconded by another voting member. If there is no second, the amendment dies. An amendment, once recognized by the co-chair or working facilitator and seconded, immediately becomes a new motion on the floor, temporarily replacing the original motion. The details of the proposed amendment are discussed, not the original motion, in the same way as the original motion, and then the amendment is voted on. An amendment cannot be itself amended, but it can be defeated and replaced with another amendment. This is what I just described a bit earlier. I'll get to you, Jesus, in just a moment. If the amendment passes, the chair should read out the newly amended motion, which is now a new motion to be discussed, if desired, and voted on. If the amendment fails, the previous motion becomes, again, the motion on the floor. Yes, Jesus.
So a motion is just a suggestion that passes on the process of the conversation on the moment, or is the motion also something that a person can bring from their home already prepared?
It must be relevant to the agenda item that is on the agenda, and the agenda item must be already noticed as a vote. So any motions that take place have to be relevant to the specific subject that is discussed. So there can be no random motions.
But that means a person can bring already a motion prepared, I mean, knowing what the discussion is going to be about? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. And so that means, like, let's say there is an agenda item that it, let's say the immigration one. Okay, there was an immigration discussion last month. It was noted as a vote. I noticed it as a vote in case people wanted to make a statement of some sort. So someone could have come to that discussion knowing in advance, because they've received the agenda in advance. That's why it's very important to receive these in advance. That, oh, this is a vote. You know what? I'm going to develop a motion on my own time, and I'm going to bring it to this discussion, see how the discussion goes, and if it's going the way that I think it might, I'm going to offer this motion that we make this statement. So you can absolutely do that. Of course, some agenda items will have a motion already coming from a particular committee, already intact. But an individual can also do the same thing. The main caveat is it has to be seconded by another person. So another person needs to be willing to stand up and say, I agree with this one. Let's continue. In the case of, this happened many times in the past, Jesus, I'm sure you were at these meetings. Sometimes someone would just make a motion and then people would be like, I have no idea what you're talking about now. Why would you want to do that? And then literally no one would second it and it would then die. All right, moving on. Voting process.
I remember this, and this may have been a previous iteration. People, this is the bad old days or the good old days, depending on how you feel on them. People would do a motion on top of a motion. Did that change at some point? I mean, it's fine to do either way, but I remember people putting a friendly emotion on top of a friendly emotion. Remember there was also that term?
I don't think those were ever considered friendly motions on top of a friendly emotion. I think it was a friendly amendment. So then someone would say...
It's not an amendment. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I would like actually... Would you mind actually making that language gender neutral as a friendly amendment? And the original mover can say, you know what? We don't even need to do a whole amendment thing. I hereby change my motion to now read this using the gender-neutral language. That's perfectly fine. That's just the original mover changing their motion. But they also have to get agreement from the second.
Right. I just remember there was stacking.
Yeah, but that was more, again, those are friendly amendments that didn't, that they were able to convince the original mover. I remember this happened with Laura a lot. Laura would do lots of motions, and people would be like, hey, you know what? Can you add this in? And then Laura would say, actually, that's fine. And then I would ask, okay, well, Lee Jewell, you were the second. Do you agree to that being changed? And then Lee would say yes. There's no need to vote on the amendment because they just sort of like did an ad hoc discussion right there. It's not. I wouldn't say it's the best practice, but it's not bad either. It actually cuts down on time.
No. I remember that too, Mark. But in the older batter days, I remember them stacking. We could get to two or three amendments on a motion. I don't really care either way. I just want to make sure that this is the way the group wants to do this. I think you could argue either way equally well.
Yeah. All right, voting process. When all members who wish to speak have done so, the chair should call the roll of those present for their votes, including members represented by a proxy, calling for a vote. The co-chair will ask, is the item ready for a vote? A member who believes the vote is being called for too soon? I think we take out that four, right? Is being called too soon. Oops. Being called too soon, or is being delayed too long, may raise a point of order and may move that we delay the vote for further discussion, or that we vote now as appropriate to the discussion. That latter used to happen a lot. Such a motion needs a second as voted on without discussion. So that might mean like we're talking here for an hour because people are like not like ready to say that like they're not ready. Like there's a lot of opposition happening, and people are not ready to actually give up their perspective. And so someone will say something, it'll cause someone else to say like, okay, but I believe, and then it'll just go back and forth and it'll last forever. So eventually someone will become impatient enough to say, point of order, I move that we vote now. And so that means that everyone now has to stop discussion and they're voting on that point of order as far as like, okay, we've gone on for too long, let's vote now about like discussion's over. And so you vote now. If it is a majority, then that means discussion is over. Then we go back to the original motion and we vote on it. Makes sense? That has not happened for years, but it actually used to happen frequently. The fun times of yesteryear. Members,
Mark, is that calling the question? Is that what that yes. thing that you just described?
Yeah, okay. it's calling the question. Members' right to speak. Every member has a right to speak at least once regarding a motion, but in a large meeting, the chair may limit speaker's time if no one objects, or if a member objects, a motion to limit the time may be passed with little or no discussion. After the members have decided to vote, the chair should read the motion to be voted on so as to make certain all members understand it, and then should call the roll and announce the result of the vote. Points of order. A member who believes that order is being breached may, at any time, say, point of order! The co-chair should immediately, and they should say it in that tone of voice, the co-chair should immediately acknowledge this member and ask the member to briefly explain why she or he believes good order is being breached. The co-chair then rules on the point, either by correcting the situation or explaining why it actually is in order. If the co-chair declares the situation is in order, the member may exercise one last option by saying, I request a vote on this point of order. First the member and then the co-chair briefly explain their reasons. Then the co-chair calls the roll for a vote on the point of order. And then the members must abide by the result of the vote. Yes, Thomas.
Gender neutral. They would be sufficient for he or she.
And where are you seeing the he or she? There it is. Okay. Anywhere else? Let's see. All right. Thanks, Thomas. Okay. Any questions before we move on to the next area?
I do, Mark.
Yes, Ron.
Yes. Just can you clarify the process that someone needs to go through to get a motion onto the agenda? Because a motion can only come from something from in the agenda. So if you have an idea, how would we bring it to make it into an agenda?
I see what you mean. Yeah, that's come up before, actually. It's come up before from people in this group and in many other groups as well. You bring it to steering. Steering is the leadership body of the council, and it's who sets the agenda for the full council. If you want something to come to a committee, then you bring it to the committee first. And so that can happen in either way, in like a couple different ways. You can actually literally show up to steering and say, you know what I'd like to add to the agenda and notice as a vote is this topic area. Anyone can do that. Steering, however, can accept or reject that idea. It's up to steering. They'd have to take a vote on it. Of course, to even get it on the steering agenda, you just talk to me. Okay. Like, talk to me and say, you know what, I'd like this on the steering agenda. I'm happy to do that. Of course, the co-chairs have final approval of the steering agenda, and the co-chairs might say, no, we're not putting that on there. But then they'd have to explain themselves to the council member who wanted something on the steering agenda that the co-chairs rejected. Same goes for the committees. So if people want to bring something to membership, council affairs, community engagement, they'd first approach me. I'd put that together on the agenda. And then I'd bring it to the co-chairs, to committee co-chairs to approve or reject. Of course, conversely, they could go to the co-chairs first, who would then instruct me to make sure to add this to the agenda. Either way.
As co-chair, I can use the 1798 Alien Enemies Act and deny that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When you change to they, are we going to keep beliefs or why they believe good order is being breached? You change the he or she.
Thank you. I love the grammar police. I really like that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. That would be just such an irritant to see that. All right. Any other thoughts on this and all that? All right, then, moving on. State and local ordinances. The council shall abide by state and local ordinances pertaining to meeting procedures, including the Sunshine Ordinance and the Brown Act. Nor where these bylaws conflict with such ordinances, the ordinance shall supersede these bylaws. We need to be in compliance with our state and local ordinances. That's why we do things like make sure to send out our meeting agendas in advance. That's by state ordinance. That's why we make sure that there's copies. Part of our distribution list actually includes the library. That's also part of this. All of our meetings, outside of a couple, I guess you'd say, leadership meetings, like say the co-chair's meetings, need to be open public meetings. So that's part of how we comply. We do, except for special circumstances, when we have at least two of those now, possibly one for sure. All votes cannot be virtual unless the special circumstances happen. So that's how we comply, and we always try to do that. We always endeavor to comply. All right, meeting announcements. Anything on this? Meeting announcements: written notice of the time and place of every regularly and special. Change that regular and special meeting of the council shall be disseminated to council members and made publicly available at least 72 hours in advance of the meeting. Any changes in the location or schedule of meeting shall be publicly announced at least 24 hours before the scheduled time of the meeting. We do aspire to do this. Open meetings. All council meetings shall be open to the public. Meetings will be tape recorded with the recordings available to council members and the public for their review. Meeting recordings will be held for a minimum of 3 months. Written minutes will be made available prior to the following meeting and will be a public document. Yes, Ron.
Yes, I think we have to add in video recording now. There's somewhere.
I don't know if we do, but I think we need to take out tape because that's old. Okay. We can have audio recordings. It's totally fine. And sometimes that's what we have. Right now, we're lucky in that everything is on Zoom, so they are video recordings. But, you know, there could be a change to that. As long as there is a recording, that's how we're satisfying it.
When you have the audio recording when you have it available online, is it the audio or is it also including the video?
Kat, what is the answer to that question?
It's audio.
Okay, so it cuts off the, it does away with the video. It's just audio. Okay.
Yes, Jesus.
The same thing, then if it's officially being recorded, does that mean that any person can record it or videotape it at the same time?
These are public meetings, so yes.
All right, thank you.
All right. Article 6, committee work groups. The committee for the merged council will be as standing. Steering committee, community engagement, membership committee, council affairs. Committee work groups will both be considered options as council members, quote, home committee. Any thoughts on that? Article 7, grievance procedures. In the event of a grievance, the council shall refer the involved parties to the grievance procedure set forward in the council's P&P manual. This will be what we'll get to. It shall be the policy of the council to attempt to resolve grievances through informal dispute mechanisms. So we'll be able to see that when we get to that procedure. Amendments. The bylaws may be amended by the council at any regularly. Again with that weird use of an adjective. Regular meetings by a majority, i.e. two-thirds vote, following 30 days public notice of any proposed changes. Amendments adopted by the council shall be implemented by or at the next regularly scheduled meeting of the full council. Any questions on that? Nope. Okay. You know what? I'm going to actually add bylaw amendments so it just is very clear what we're talking about here. Bylaw amendments. Okay, personal liability. Council members shall not be personally liable for any debt, liability, or obligation of the council. All persons, corporations, or other entities extending credit to, contracting with, or having any claim against the council may look only to the funds and property of the council for payments of any such contractor claim or for payments of any debt, damages, judgment, or decree, or of any money that may otherwise become due or payable to them from the council. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Mark, is that, I don't quite understand the intent of that, by the way. Just, is it,
If someone doesn't make a decision and they're like, well, you know, you cut off an entire service category, which has happened in the past, and that means my agency is losing a lot of money, I'm going to sue your asses. We're not personally liable for these decisions.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions or thoughts on the bylaws, which are now, wow, okay, completed. Hallelujah. Huh. What do you know? All right.
I have one question, that last one. The last one, the personal liability. Is that still hold true if someone does something nefarious, willfully uncool or illegal? Where did you get this language from?
You think I remember? Back in the day. No idea.
Yeah, that one might be worth double-checking.
I'm not a robot. I mean, but these came from somewhere.
So, like, if someone, like, gets, like, a personal gain, like, they invested. I mean, we have not-for-profits, so it's hard to imagine it. But I don't know if that's exactly true if you do something willfully illegal as a planning council member and get personal gain and break a law. So maybe that's just worth double-checking.
So, Bill, I was actually had a similar kind of – it's more like – it's kind of words, but it's someone sues somebody or somebody arrests somebody. They're not going to like say, oh, you can't do that because their bylaws say that. The arrest or the lawsuit is still going to happen. So it's more, for lack of a better word in my mind, performative than actually going to hold up in a court of law or prevent something from happening. So that was my thought. So if that, I don't know if that's the direction you're going or not.
I mean, maybe, Thomas, I think when people do lawsuits, the prosecuting attorney throws everyone in. So they throw in Shanti, they throw in DPH, you know, that they, and, you know, you're not limited who you can sue. But I also just wouldn't want a planning council member to think that they didn't have any liability unless they don't. So I think it just makes sense. So just people know, I'm not worried that anyone's making nefarious profits or doing evil things here, but you know, just to be clear that it reflects what the law is. Mark, do you need help on that, or do you feel like you could double check that?
I'm not sure where I double check that, but I think we could look at other commissions. So, for example, is a health commissioner personally liable for decisions they make?
Yeah, I think, Mark, as long as you don't do something blatantly illegal or make an illegal profit, like think about the 700 forms, you're absolutely covered. But I think if you break laws, then you can be personally liable. Yeah.
This is
specific, just double check it.
This is specifically liable for any debt, liability, or obligation of the council.
Yeah, but that is true. I don't know if you contribute to making the debt by doing something illegal, like you steal the money and run off to Jamaica out of
Shanghai. How would that? But that's like how would a council member be able to steal?
No, money? I'm just, well, you could, Mark.
This is about council members.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get. Yes, I think it's worth double checking. That would be my recommendation. Your call.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, just going back to the same thing, council members shall not be personally liable, but the council in itself.
Yes, of the council itself.
No. Yeah, but so council members shall not be personally liable for any debt, liability, or the relation of the council. But then you mentioned the example of an agency saying, I'm gonna sue you guys or something like that. So if the agency decide to sue, the council in itself will not be liable also, or just the
council? I mean, that's what we say, but as Thomas pointed out, it's gonna be up to the court of law. But let's say that council support contracted a consultant to do our needs assessment. We didn't like the results, so we said, you know what, we're not paying you. A council member is not liable for that debt. Like, so say Facenti Consulting is like, you owe us, though. Like, Facenti could not then, according to this, say that the council member is liable for council support or the acting on behalf of the council not paying them. Again, this will be settled in a court of law. But this is just making clear that you're not liable for any for what the council itself is.
Okay, gotcha.
Is part of. So we're not dividing up like let's say we owe money for food. We're not going to divide that up. You're not liable for that. That's something that has to go a different direction. Again, though, court of law is going to have jurisdiction final jurisdiction over this. Yes, Richard.
As we learned in Trump v. United States, I am not responsible if I'm doing this criminal act in the commission, in the performance of my duties.
100% El Presidente.
Love you, Richard.
All right. Any more thoughts on our wonderful bylaws?
I just heard Bill offer to help answer this. Bill, is that what you were going to do?
I recommend that this gets checked one way or the other. You know, Mark has connections, and I can do it as support him if that's what you all want to do. But I would recommend that you double check that wording.
Go ahead.
I guess I wonder if you or I, Bill, should contact the city attorney's office.
Yeah, or actually was, I mean, I think your point, Mark, of starting with the other commissions, just look at a couple, three of the other bylaws. I just would be curious to know where this language came from. I'm not worried about malfeasance of our planning council members. I just think it's important people, you know, that what we say there is accurate. That's what I care about.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Kira has mentioned that we actually didn't do Article 4, so we're going to go back now to Article 4, as you'll see it's up on the screen. Thank you, Kira. There will be four officers, co-chairs of the council, one government co-chair seat, shared by HHS and CHEP, so we do need to adjust this, and three co-chair seats that include the following communities or attributes: people of color, women, HIV positive members of consumer prevention services, and individual who is unaffiliated. All right, so we're going to remove HHS. We'll just put this government seat, CHEP, and three co-chair seats that include the following communities or attributes: people of color, women, HIV positive consumers, a consumer of prevention services, an individual who is unaffiliated. Now, these are our own decisions, except for the government co-chair. That is something that is actually CDC, at least currently, requires. Do we want to revisit the attributes that follow for our community co-chair seats? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So these are five attributes that must be held by three individuals. Does the group continue to feel that this is realistic? Make sure you pay our food bill. Yes. I don't see everyone. So if anyone has their hand up, they should really just speak. We want to keep this as is. Do we want to adjust?
I think that's representative. That's fair.
I do wonder if there's HIV positive consumers and then an individual who is unaffiliated. Is it necessary, do you all think, to have that last attribute?
It's kind of redundant. I fit into three of those categories myself.
Yeah. I just hire you at CHEP, Richard, and you'll be
voracious, young.
Okay, so are people okay with me taking this last one off?
Okay. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Are we considering, as women, cisgender specifically, or is it open?
Good question, Ron.
So why don't we make this very clear? Cis and trans. How does that sound? And or trans.
Yeah, and I wasn't able to unmute my button on time, but I do feel it's important to still keep the unaffiliated thing, even if, like some of you mentioned, yeah, some of these other elements cover the unaffiliated. I do believe, from my point of view, that I'm not part of this committee, so I therefore might have no vote, but I do feel it's important just to let you know, guys.
How do people feel about that?
Bill?
Jesus, I think if you are HIV positive and not presumed to be unaffiliated if you're an HIV positive consumer of services and not employed anywhere. So I think why they were taking it out is not that unaffiliated doesn't matter, but when you say HIV positive consumer, you could add unaffiliated in front of that, but all consumers okay, are considered
I guess it makes sense. I was going to ask before that, in any case, what was the definition really of a consumer of services, because that means just getting one thing or many things or a few things. So I think that will have also something to do with it for myself. Because as a consumer, are you just, you know, going to pause, or are you really, I don't know, just really, really being able to receive different services at this point of your life, or you're working and only get one benefit or something? All those different things make some difference to me. But anyway, I understand what you're saying, Bill.
I see what you mean, Jesus, because when I see HIV positive consumers, I know there are a couple already on the council who are affiliated.
Correct.
Yeah.
They are employed, they work for, but they're HIV positive name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the difference there, Ron, is
have one for consumers that are unaffiliated.
Yeah, so the difference, as I understand it, Ron, would be there's HIV positive consumers. That doesn't mean that you're employed or unemployed. And then there's HIV positive providers, meaning that you're HIV positive, but you provide HIV services. And I think the legislation and folks at least historically wanted to differentiate between those two groups to make sure that it was there was enough folks that were also receiving the services, not those providing it, regardless of their HIV status. So I think that's part of the reason that that language came up in that way.
Yes, Richard.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be funny here at all, but thank goodness we are who we are, because in the current political climate we live in, that just those phraseology there, people of color, cis and trans, that would ring bells.
Absolutely.
With our current madness going on in Washington. So thank goodness we are who we are.
For as long as we can be. Any more thoughts or changes or updates to this?
I guess I just want to add something very, very fast. In this last documentary that we were doing, that anyway, I sent a note to you guys, it's going to come out in June. One of the very important things that we mentioned, it had making a huge difference in people aging with HIV and also long-term survivors, is precisely money. And that part of being consumers and unaffiliated, that's what I wanted to try to see really how the whole wording works right here. They make us take out in one moment cis and trans and people of color, the unaffiliated will still work. But anyway, at the end for me is that point, that money, it has made the difference, or therefore you receive a lot of very good services. And I don't know how to transfer this information from my brain to what I'm trying to say, but that's what I'm trying to say anyway. So thank you, guys.
Any more thoughts on the officers?
Yes, Mark, two comments. Oh, go ahead, Zachary.
I do have a question. Why are we taking it away again? Like, because it's redundant, or we don't want to have that additional criteria to have to meet, or that's what I'm not sure why we're taking it away.
It does potentially open us up for more people to fill this seat. As Ron has outlined, there are at least a couple service providers right now who are also consumers of services. And right. So let's say we have a vote for all of this and Richard decides to step back as our consumer of services, and no one but, say, I mean, Derek is open, right, about his status. No one but Derek puts their name forward. Under the former thing, this would still not satisfy our requirements, even though right, he actually does use care services widely.
Right. Okay, thank you.
And but similarly, like, let's say that Jesus joined a board of a particular agency, not paid for, but still on the board of directors of say an agency that receives funds or could receive funds. He would also not be able to fulfill that requirement because he's now on a board. So this actually allows more HIV positive consumers of services to actually hold a leadership role.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I can't hear you, Jesus.
Word unaffiliated or affiliated, it does not have to do with working or payment or money. It has to do just if you have any kind of
financial interest in an agency.
Connection with any agency?
Exactly. So if you are on a board, even though you're not getting paid for it, that would mean that you are affiliated. And so you would not be able to fulfill that that requirement. So taking that out means that you can actually fulfill that requirement because you're still, even though you're on the board of a particular, to me, it just, it's limiting what our HIV positive consumers of services can do. To even qualify for leadership. And so if they happen to be on a board, let alone staff or even a consultant of a particular agency, that means they have been delimited from ever having a leadership role. And so this allows them to.
All right, I'm just going to leave it like this. My complaint in many different ways, precisely, has been that in the council, a lot of the people are working for agencies and therefore many of them defending the agency to get certain amounts of money or things. And that
would actually fall out of compliance with our conflict of interest. So they would never actually be allowed to speak in favor of or even vote on any agency impacting their any motion or funding impacting their agency. That's not allowable.
Yeah. I guess I say that because some of the things that I told you about how politics were working inside the console, but thank you.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's the actual truth. Like, I have spoken. In the past. I've definitely been like, you probably need to not speak on this topic. I mean, we see that actually in how Thomas acts himself. Like, Thomas will not vote on things that have specifically might be considered as a conflict. So I actually think we're not only are we particularly good at self-policing, it's in our rules. Like you can't do that. So if you, again, if like, let's use Derek as an example. If Derek is talking about like, but we need psychosocial support, I would have to say, Derek, you actually can't speak to this topic and you can't vote on it either.
Yeah. Remember that I did mention this to you, that just when initially I entered the council, one of the members affiliated told me, please don't try to make any waves and keep things how they are because they're going to affect all the other elements. I was literally told that by someone on the council. Oh. Just to let you know.
Well, I mean, a person can say that. They can believe that. That's totally fine. It's when they get into trying to get money to come the way of their agency is the problem.
Yeah.
A whole overall, like, let's try to, like, not make waves. A person is allowed to feel that way and probably has some good reasons for feeling that way. But again, trying to get money towards an agency where you have some particular benefit, not allowable. Yes, Thomas.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the dialogue and I feel like we're all on the same. In my time in the council, I've actually never felt a conflict of interest that was significant from any of the members. So we do always want to keep an eye on that. And I again, appreciate the conversation. And if folks have other experiences, I'd love to hear about that. Maybe there's stuff I'm unaware of. So thank you.
Yeah, there were experiences certainly in the earlier years. Sometimes public would call out particular service providers for speaking passionately about the services they felt should be funded that happened to include their own agencies. And sometimes those voices were in some ways doubled in impact when they'd say, not only am I a service provider, I'm an HIV positive service provider. And so that had to be policed, and it wasn't policed all that well in my perspective. This is, of course, before that I came into this role. anyway, yes, Bill.
Yeah, two things. At least historically, Mark, I remember it slightly different. You definitely had to recuse yourself from voting. And the best practice would say I could have a real or perceived conflict of interest because I get funded in the service category, which we particularly did at the retreat. But I have a slightly different member. It wasn't that people couldn't opinionate; they had to identify their conflict and they couldn't vote.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, we wouldn't want someone to we wouldn't want to actually bar someone from speaking. So I withdraw that for sure. Someone should be able to speak their piece if they feel like saying, you know what, I work at the community health center. What you guys are talking about defunding all integrated services. Let me speak on behalf of my services, even though of course I'm not going to vote on this. And then as long as they have sort of a preface about their conflict of interest, then they can speak on that as a service. So yeah, I definitely withdraw that. Thanks, Bill. Point well made.
The other piece was that, at least in the past, that this may be the more distant, because I don't think there are so many HIV positive providers that I am aware of. They did not count towards towards the HIV positivity numbers of the council. You had to be unaffiliated. So when we did report
Yeah,
after
they
Delmar,
don't count towards our 33%. No, they do not.
yeah. So just for people to be clear on that.
They do count to the 25% needed for each meeting, but they don't count for the
Correct.
30% that HRSA
Correct.
would require. All right, good
Mark,
discussion.
I did have two other things that I wanted to raise a while ago. We kind of jumped on the thing. The first would be just to spell out CHEP and the reason why. And the second would be because you all decided to have an ex officio representative from the care side of the house, which is also the grantee, also include that there. Because I think the next audit, they will look for that.
And what is this community health equity and promotion? Something like
Yes.
that? Okay.
Yeah, the grantee for CDC HIV prevention funds.
Mark, it's important that you use an ampersand and not and, because then it spells cheap.
Are you serious, Thomas?
Hey, yes, right.
I am serious.
Wow.
Funny.
I was just like, really?
Well, it used to be Consumer Rights Advocacy Project. You all can sound out that acronym. That got changed too.
Funny too. Okay, government co-chair seat.
I don't think you added it in yet, Mark. The ensemble.
Ampersand.
Ampersand. Where am I adding an amper? There's
A
actually
community health
equity
equity.
and promotion.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
There you go.
Otherwise, it becomes all three of those are being promoted. I got it. Okay, but you're not an officer, so this wouldn't be under this this heading, Bill. It would be a separate.
Yeah, just its own separate thing, yes. And
Okay,
then the next
so
paragraph.
let's put a pin in that one then.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be under officers. It could be somewhere else.
Yeah.
But yeah, make sure that before it's finalized, can you include that? Just so it's
Mark.
clear what my and my replacement's role will be. We don't vote.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, I think it's probably best to have this because no other seats are mentioned to have what you just described as a separate new policy that we're going to add
Its
that
own
similar.
policy that will work too.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just put a pin in that one and make sure to add that when we get to that area. Yes, Richard.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm about to graduate college. What did you call
Ampersand.
an amp
An
ampersand.
ampersand.
Amperthan.
Fan.
Amperthan. Amperthan.
Ampersand.
Wow.
Ampersand.
Hey, can Bill or someone can someone spell that into in the chat? This is a something that's incredibly important, and we want Richard to be entirely familiar with this. There we go. Thanks, Kira.
It
Do you
has
see
a
the
D at
note
the
from
end,
Richard?
yes.
Thank you. Wow.
Ampersand. That's what that is. Also a delightful name for a child. All right, I'm going to stop share, dare I? Yes.
Yes, you dare. Did we get through it?
We did. With the pin that we're going to add a policy once we get to the different seats that we have on the council for Bill.
Okay. No, we so we still have more policies too.
Oh, we have so many more. We have
Oh,
so
don't worry, my
many
healthy, my
more. And
friend.
depending what I find or what Bill finds around liability, we might return to the bylaws. But for now, at least bylaws are complete.
And Mark, if you don't find something, then do reach out to me.
Okay.
I'll help out
All right. So, any other question? I'm assuming that's we're adjourning. Is there anything else on the agenda? No, we are adjourning. All right. So, Kat, I will. if I'm not sure when Husna's back, so hopefully she's back tomorrow. If not, we'll do our best to try to get something in or just go without. I think it'll be okay. Or put it, let folks know we'll be out later.
What are you saying now? Sorry, what?
Sorry, Husna on our team is out, who usually provides the CHEP updates.
Oh, got it.
Sorry, yeah. It's just bad communication. Cool. Anything else before we adjourn, folks? I appreciate everybody's thanking you in advance,
Thomas, for doing the full council as well.
Checks in the mail, I'm assuming. So I appreciate it, Mark.
I want to thank you to Kira and Kat for all your help always, by the way. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And Mark, a quick staff question. I hate to sound like this, but I received almost flawless reviews. Why was my meeting overall a 9.2? I'm a 10 guy. I'm a 10. I have to go to 9. I was kind of surprised because you got an
almost perfect score last time.
Richard, you didn't know the word ampersand. So clearly there are issues that you have blind spots. We all have blind spots. So just let that in. And we will adjourn this meeting now, like that old Seinfeld episode,
10 to a 9.2, that's significant shrinkage.
I do think the person who thought we didn't have enough food options was really making their point clear.
Every opinion is valuable. Take care, y'all. Bye. Good work.
Isn't that true?